Praise the Lord, everybody. Are you glad to be in God's house today? I said, are you glad to be in God's house today? Hallelujah. I know you are. It is indeed a great honor, and it's exciting to be able to look out and see my buddy, my brother, Officer Justin Allen. He's got my back in here as well as in the field, and there's been multiple occasions to where if he wasn't there, I would have been a little bit more nervous. And so it's so good to have him and his wife and children in church with us here today. We're going to jump right in. I know you've been standing for quite some time. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Exodus 14, 27 through 29. Exodus 14, 27 through 29. I'm very excited about the Word of God here this morning, as every single time we get the opportunity to step in God's presence. Because every single day we have the opportunity to be in His house is a brand new day. Another time where He can speak to us. Because God's Word is alive and well. Every time we read the Word of God, every time we listen to the Word of God, every time we're in contact with God's people, God's able to speak something new into our lives. You believe that God is concerned with your life? Yes, He is. He knows what you go through. He knows what you face. He knows what you're going to face. And that's why He gives us the opportunity to be able to be in His house each and every single time the doors are open. So that He can let a little bit of light or insight as to how we are able to go through what we're about to enter into. Exodus 14, 27 through 29 says this. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them unto their right hand and on their left. What an incredible miracle. The Red Sea crossing. An incredible feat by God. The people of God spared. The people of God saved. But yet the enemies that pursued them, the Bible says not one of them survived. I just wonder, can we lay our Bibles aside? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. I want you to help me because I need your help. I want you to lift your voice as well as your hearts and your hands right now and begin to call upon God. Ask Him to anoint my lips of clay, that God would begin to speak through me exactly what He has for His people here this morning. Mighty God, Lord, I thank You, dear Jesus, for another opportunity, a privilege and a chance, oh God, to be in Your presence. Lord God, I'm asking You right now to speak to Your church, to speak to Your people, oh God. For we're in Your presence, dear Jesus. There's many here that are hurting. There's many here that are hungry for more of Your Word. There's many here that are afflicted, that are addicted, that are broken, dear God. And I'm asking You, dear Jesus, to begin the amending process, oh God, to begin to restore, to renew, dear God. And we'll give You the glory and the honor for it. And everybody with a triumphant voice shout, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. Before we're able to understand and commit ourselves to true faithfulness, we must first understand the root of the battle in which all desiring to live for God face. The battle of sacrifice, longevity, and recognition of true blessings, not just financial, but long-term. When many think on the idea of a blessing, we immediately condense capability and opportunity to the immediate time in which we are facing. If it doesn't happen right now, it's not a blessing. The power of the spoken word has too many times been limited to an hourly agenda. I'm here today to tell someone you have the ability to completely overcome your past fear, torment, and burdens of sin. I want to preach to you a message entitled this morning simply this: a place only you can walk. A place only you can walk. First of all, I want to say that our focus is not going to lie solely on the dry land aspect. Rather, we will be taking a different view. But before I go on, let me first tell someone in this place that oftentimes the pathway of God will lead us through dry places, but we should not assume or even allow the enemy for one moment to try and make us think we have missed His leading in troubled circumstances. as children of God, as people of God, we will find ourselves in places to where we think that we are in a dry place. We'll find ourselves in desert places. Now, I'm not talking about a physical desert, but rather a spiritual dry place. A place where we can't seem to quench the thirst of what God desires us to have. A place where sometimes we can't seem to feel God's presence because whether we're facing this or we're going through that or we're stuck in this rut or either we can't seem to kick this addiction or this problem or this situation. We can never allow the enemy to make us think that we are out of God's hands. We can never allow the enemy to think that we have missed the leading of God's hands. The Word of God says that no one comes into His presence unless the Spirit draws him. The reason that you are here today is not because someone invited you. It's not because you saw the sign next to the road. It's not even because you picked up a flyer that you might have found on the ground. It's because the Spirit of the Lord has drawn you here to this place. And if the Spirit of God has drawn you into His presence, then that means He has a divine plan for your life. It's not a divine plan for you to fail. It's not a divine plan for you to run. It's not a divine plan for you to be sick, and it's not a divine plan for you to suffer. It's a divine plan for you to make heaven your home one day. Can we be excited in the presence of God, in the house of God, knowing that we are in a place where God has drawn us out of this darkness and into His marvelous light? Someone could easily preach victory in dry places. Someone in this house needs to know that just because you are parched and weary and possibly burnt by the pounding rays of affliction does not mean you have missed the leading hand of God. You are right where God wants you to be, because it's only in the cry of desperation where hope can become a happening. It's only in the cry of desperation where hope can become a happening. My question is, what kind of miracle could happen in this place if we would allow ourselves to break under the pressure of limitation and give it to a limitless God? You see, when we reach the end of our rope and we reach the end of where we can take ourselves to, when we reach a point in our life to where we say, you know what, I don't know what else to do. The doctors have said there's no hope. All these other people have said there's nothing that they can do. I have reached my breaking point. I have reached my limit. Then that is the exact moment in time where we have to recognize that, hey, we serve a limitless God. And if He can create the heavens and the earth, honey, He can create you a miracle. If He can create... You got to hear me right now, church. I'm talking about a God that has all power and authority. I'm talking about a God that can take away sickness. I'm talking about a God that can take away disease. But He won't do it as long as you go ahead and hold your world in your hands. But the very moment that you say, God, I can't do anything with it. I can't do anything else with my family. I can't save my family. But I know a God who can. So God, I'm giving it to You. You do what You want to do, and I'll be where You want me to be. You take me where You want me to go, and I'll stay where You want me to stay. You hear me right now, Landmark. I'm talking about a God that cares for your each and every single need. Sometimes the issue is the dwelling on the issue. If we're not careful, we can become our own worst enemy. You say, well, the devil's beating me up and I just don't know how I'm going to be able to make it to tomorrow. I've got this situation that I've been going through, that I've been facing, and I just honestly don't know if I can beat it. Is it the devil telling you that, or are you telling yourself that? You see, a lot of times we go through things for so long that we tend to think that we can't break it. But you know what? The devil's backbone is something so easy to break. All it takes is a little bit of worship. The Word of God says that the demons tremble at the very mention of His name. You know what you need to do sometimes? You just need to say the name of Jesus. And when you begin to say the name of Jesus, you know what's going to happen? A smile is going to come on your face. And you know why that's happening? Because all of hell is beginning to shake under the power and the authority of an almighty God. Don't you be your own worst enemy. You go ahead and rise up above your circumstance and say, I can do this. Because if God brought you to it, chances are He's going to take you through it. I'm going to say it till you believe it. I said, if God brought you to it, then that's the very same God that can take you through it. Sometimes the issue is the dwelling on the issue. We come to the house of God time after time and always carrying the same burden of defeat. Newsflash, church, God knew your situation before you even told Him about it in prayer. And now that you have informed Him of your need, then praise Him because He is in control. It's amazing to think how sometimes we believe that we go through things in our life that completely confound God. I've seen people come to the altar and pray and they're like, God, you're not going to believe this. But I've been doing this and I've been doing that. And it's almost like they think God's going, no way. When? Oh my goodness. What are we going to do? God knew your situation before you even got there. He knew what you were going to face before you even faced it. You know, the Word of God says that He formed you in your mother's womb. He knew what you were going to be facing that day that they nailed Him to a cross. That's why He allowed Himself to be nailed to that cross. He knew the situations that our world was going to be confronted by. He knew the sin. He knew the addictions. He knew the afflictions. He knew the problems and He knew the trials that we were going to go through. And at the very moment where they begin to pierce His hands with those nails and the angels begin to stand on heaven's edge and begin to say, come on, just sound the alarm and just say it. And we'll storm all of earth and we'll tear you down from that cross. And we'll make the people know who you are. And Jesus stayed on that cross and He said, you know what? Stand put. Hold your ground because this is happening for my people. He stayed on the cross so that you can stay in His presence. I said He stayed on the cross so that you can stay in His presence. It's the devil's big lie to try to make you think that you've got to get good to get God. When all along my God has been saying, you get in here and I'll make something out of you. You see, we were formed from the dirt. We were formed from the very dust of this earth. So if that was what we were formed by, what we were created by, how, oh how, could you expect to be something clean from the get-go? That's why the Bible talks about being born again. That's why the Word of God talks about being born again. Because you were born into sin, shapen by iniquity. And now it's time to be renewed in your spirit, renewed in your mind, knowing that, you know what, this is who I used to be. This is what I used to do. This is where I used to go. But now there's a new me. Now there's a new creation that is happening. I'm putting one foot in front of the other, and I'm starting something different. I'm starting something new. I'm walking where God wants me to walk. I'm talking the way God wants me to talk. I'm acting the way God wants me to act. Now I've been renewed. Is anybody in here glad the day that God found you and He pulled you away from the dirt and He said, you know what? I can make something beautiful out of this dirt. I can make something beautiful out of what the world has tried to discard and make nasty. Let me go a little bit further in the Spirit of God right now and tell somebody, it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you possibly were 1 hour ago. I don't care if you're a raging alcoholic and you were in a bar just a few moments ago. You have now found yourself in the presence of God, and you are standing in the midst of opportunity. The very same God that loves me is the very same God that loves you. The very same God that saved me is the very same God that can save you. The very same God that placed the stars in the heaven can place miracles in your life. God is never shocked by news, and God is never limited by opinion. Oh, you got to hear me now. I said God is never limited by opinion. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what grandma, grandpa, and custom have done over the years and thousands upon thousands of years. You know what? Opinion doesn't matter to God. You know what matters to God? His Word. The spoken Word is what matters. The spoken Word is what heals. The spoken Word is what delivers. The spoken Word is what restores. I believe that someone needs to point your finger at the ground like you're pointing at the enemy and say, devil, I told God about it, so now I can praise Him for the happening. I told the Lord about my problem. I told the Lord about my trial. I told the Lord about my situation. I told God even about my children. So now, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and praise Him in advance. I'm going to go ahead and worship Him in advance. Because if I told my God about it, He hears the prayers of His people, and that need will be met. Listen, there's not a devil in hell that can stand up against the child of God. There's not an enemy in this world that can stand up against a praying saint of God. There's not a... The Word of God says this. It says that Moses stretched forth his hand and the Red Sea parted. We tend to focus on the miracle of the parting. And oftentimes we overlook the real goal in which God had. You see, the true victory was not in the waters receding or parting. The true miracle was when the waters returned. Exodus 14, 28 through 30 says this. Hang with me. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Somebody say, all of them died. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand, and a wall unto their left hand. The very first aquarium. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. They were amazed and astonished to walk across on dry land, as of all of us would be as well. They were amazed and astonished, most likely thinking to themselves, this is a great God. This is great that God has granted us another day to be able to continue to flee from the enemy. He's done it again. We thought we were stuck here. We thought we had reached our ending point. We thought we had reached a wall in our life to where we couldn't go any further. And all of a sudden, God in all of His infinite wisdom has parted the Red Sea and allowed us to flee another day. Oh, what a great God. And they were focused on that miracle that had happened right then and there. But then they turned to see the waters returning and destroying the Egyptians. When the division was broken, the enemy was choking. Immediately, they were exonerated from the very thought or fear of living the life that they once led. There was a greater miracle than dry land that happened when God broke the part. Let me tell you, church, when God breaks the part in us and the water returns in your life, you're going to see the enemy no more. It's not God's plan that you just flee from your enemy one more day. It's not God's plan that you just see the light at the end of the tunnel for another hour. It's not God's plan that you seem happy and joyful while you're just in this church service. It's God's plan that every single enemy that followed you to the doors of this church, that when you came across on dry land and God showed you a way where there seemed to be no way, it's God's plan that the waters come back together, and when you walk out of this house, the enemy will be able to follow you no more. I'm talking about a church that when the doors are closed and the message is finished and over, that when you leave this place, you leave changed. You don't walk away with the same sin. You don't walk away with the same pain. You don't walk away with the same hurt, because I hear the waters returning. God is about to break the part. When God breaks the part about you that can't quite commit, when God breaks the part that can't believe wholeheartedly, when God breaks the part of those that like to cause division amongst the church, the part that is so opinionated and spiritually polluted that truth is constantly refuted, pain will be no more. Regret will be no more. Addiction will be no more. Why are you getting quiet on me now? Carnality will be no more. Faithlessness will be no more. Hopelessness will be no more. Addiction will be no more. Come on, I can do this all day long.
Backsliders will be no more. Lost children will be no more. Cancer will be no more. Alcoholism will be no more. A lying tongue will be no more. I'm talking about when God breaks the part. Brother Carson, what are you saying? What part of me needs to be broken? The part where God is digging deep in your soul and He's saying, let me in. You see, church, we were meant to walk. Listen here. Listen now. You may be seated. We see, church, we were meant to walk through dry places knowing that if we can get through it, the water will consume it. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 2 says this. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Isn't that nice? God doesn't want us to be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It's amazing to me how God allowed us to see the coincidence of how baptism in the New Testament will consume the enemy's relentless pursuit as it did in the Red Sea for the children of Israel. You say, well, what importance does baptism have in today's time, Brother Carson? I just showed you what importance it has. The very moment that you hit your knees in repentance at this altar and you begin to tell God, you say, God, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the things that I've done. I'm sorry for all the places that I've been. I'm sorry for all the mess. Listen, my hands up first. We've all gone through situations in our life and we all have regrets. Am I the only one? Is there anybody else out here that has regrets? We all have regrets. We all have things that we have faced. We all have things that we have done. And the enemy has been in a constant pursuit time and time again. And it seems like every time we get two steps forward, it's like the enemy just all of a sudden just kicks us in the chest and we step back. And we just can't seem to get sometimes where we want to get. And we fight and we struggle and we push and we pray and we fast and we believe. And then all of a sudden, it seems like we just fall again. You know what, church? It's okay to fall. Just don't fall back. Fall forward. We find ourselves in these situations to where we seem like we just can't get any further. And then we find ourselves at an altar of repentance and we begin to talk to God and we, from the depths of our heart. See, that's repentance. From the depths of our heart, we begin to say, God, I'm sorry. Not that I'm sorry I got caught, but I'm sorry because, Lord, I know that according to your word that I saw this and I've read this and I see that this is not like you. God, I just want you to forgive me. And you know what happens? The Bible says that He is faithful to forgive. Now that you have completely killed that past regret, or you have completely killed that situation that you're facing there, that you're going through, what do you do with something that's dead? There we go. Anything that's dead, you bury it. And so when we put you in that water and we say in the name of Jesus Christ and we take you underneath that water, you know what's happening? We're beginning to bury what the enemy has tried to make alive in your life. You killed it through repentance and we're burying it through baptism. That's the importance of baptism. You see, when you go through the dry places, the water will consume those that follow after you. It'll consume that sin. It'll consume that past regret. I'm talking about biblical salvation here, church. You've got to understand with me now. There's an importance with the water. But before there was salvation, there had to be situation. If God allowed us to walk before the dry places, then He's going to allow you to walk through the dry places. John 7:38 says this, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, important, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, doesn't say as mama hath said, as daddy hath said, as grandma hath said, He that believeth on me, as Facebook has said. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. I've said it 1,000 times, and the reason I say it is because Pastor says it. Don't you dare do anything just because we say it. You do it because you see it in the Word of God. But you know what? You're going to end up doing what we preach because we preach the Word of God. Aren't you glad for a church that believes in the Word of God?
from front cover to the very end, preaching every single scripture, every single word, every single testimony, come on somebody, you gotta understand with me right here, right now. We are in a Bible believing church. We're not gonna skip something just because it hurts. We're not gonna skip something because it requires a change. We're not gonna skip something because we don't feel comfortable. We're gonna read every bit of it. We're gonna preach every word of it, because it is the word of God that sets us free, and it is the word of God that delivers us.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now the reference to belly is defined as this: gut determination. So the scripture could be read like this: he that believeth on me, scriptures had said, through his determination shall flow rivers of living water. How am I going to be determined? Let me tell you how you're going to be determined. The enemy's going to say, you know what? You should do that. You should go there. You should act like that. You should talk like that. And determination is going to rise up inside of you. And all of a sudden you're going to begin to stir up the gift of God that's within you. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm not doing it. I'm not acting like it. I'm not talking like it. I'm not going there. I'm not being that way. Through your determination, rivers of living water will flow from you. Those rivers of living water are the same waters that flowed over top of the Egyptians. Those rivers of living water are the very same thing that choked out the enemy back then, and it will choke out the enemy here today. Someone needs a heavy dose of determination that says, come hell or high water, I will do what God has called me to do. I will be what God has called me to be. You see, that's what God calls for, determination. Determination calls us from a world and withdraws us. It pulls us away from it, because the word of God says, come out from among them, be ye separate. All right? What are we separating ourselves from? We're separating ourselves from a nasty world. We're separating ourselves from a carnal mindset. We're separating ourselves from all the situations and all the trials and all the problems and all the nastiness that this world has. We're separating ourselves from it, and we're standing out, and we're being different. And we're being different in such a way that we don't just have to tell someone that we're different so that they understand we're different. When they see you, they're like, whoa. Pastor likes to tell a story of he had left home, and years had gone by, and he had found himself in the house of God, and God had blessed him, God had filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he had completely changed, and he found himself one day come in contact with his dad. And as his dad walked into a hospital, if I'm not mistaken, and when he came in, dad was standing there, and his dad walked by and said, hey, how you doing? He walked on by and then stopped, turned, looked at him, he said, Kenny? I'm talking about a God that can change you so much that your own family doesn't even recognize you. I'm talking about a God that can change you so much that when the enemy comes knocking on your door and he's like, here we go again, I'm going to mess up their life one more time, and he knocks on the door and you answer it, that the enemy goes, oh, I think I got the wrong house. I'm talking about a God that when your feet touch the floor in the morning, when you wake up, that the enemy begins to quake and shake, because he's like, oh my goodness, he's awake another day. He's up one more time. What's he going to accomplish today? What's he going to do today? How many people is he going to pray for today? How many lives are going to be touched today because of him? How many witnesses is he going to reach? How many Bible studies is he going to teach? Come on, that's the kind of determination that I'm talking about. It's a determination that pulled you out of sin. It's a determination that pulled you out of addiction. And it's a determination that pulled you out of affliction. You know, guests and visitors, we see people running the aisles sometimes here, and we see people leaping for joy. We see people clapping their hands, and you think, man, they might have been born with a silver spoon in their mouth. But it's those very same people that couldn't drop cigarettes sometimes for 5 and 10 years. It's those very same people that were so addicted to alcohol that they lost their family. It's those same people that were so strung out and so broken. It's those same people that are sitting here today that spent years in jail, years in prison, but yet you see them today and you think, wow, what happened to you? What changed in you? And the very thing that changed in them is determination. They woke up one morning and they said, you know what? Today's the day of salvation. I'm speaking the word of God here right now. It says today's the day of salvation. You know what that means? That means don't wait till tomorrow. That means don't tell yourself, well, I'm 16, I'm 17, I'm still a teenager, I should be able to have a lot of fun. I should be able to break things. I should be able to hurt people. And by the time I'm 20, heck, we'll get it all together then. Today's the day of salvation. You're determined that your family is going to live for God. Amen. You're determined that your situation is going to cease. Amen. You're determined that your addiction is going to flee. Let me introduce something to you real quick. I was in my office just earlier today, and I was reading, and I had been working on something for quite a while, and I want you to go somewhere with me right now, and I'm almost done. If we look at the age of Moses, at the age of 40, Moses fled Egypt. He had found himself trying to protect his own people, and in the process, he had killed an Egyptian. He fled Egypt for fear of his life at 40 years old. He was 80 years old when he came in contact with the burning bush. 40 years later, he came in contact with the burning bush where the Lord told him, go and get my people out of bondage. He went to Egypt. We know the whole process, all the plagues. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. And Moses died within view of the promised land. 40. The word of God says in 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as of one day. Brother Salman, if you could put that work that we did earlier, you would not believe how long it took for us to get here. Man's years, as the word of God has already said, we understand. Everybody say this. 1,000 years. Say it. 1,000 years is equal to one day to God. Okay. We all have an understanding that 1,000 years, that's a long time for us. One day to God. 40 years equals 4% of one day to God. 60 minutes times 20 hours equals one, that number right there, 1,440 minutes. 4% of 1,440 minutes, 40 years equals 57.6 minutes to God. God accomplished from the birth of Moses all the way to the day that he died in view of the promised land. In God's eyes, 3 days. In man's eyes, 120 years. You see now why it confounds God when we look at him and we say, I just don't understand why I've got to go through this for so long. I just don't understand why I've got to face this situation for so long. I just don't understand why I've got to be in the church for a whole hour. I just don't understand why I've got to read the Bible. It takes the whole year. You see now why it confounds God? Because if 120 years equates to 3 days, your little situation that you're going through, God's already looking at the miracle, and he's looking at you shouting in your miracle right now. You say, well, Brother Carson, I've been going through this problem with my family, and my children have been lost, and they've been away from the house of God now for, I don't know, 3 years. My children have been broken. My home has been broken. My finances have been just completely dismembered. All this has happened in my life, and I just don't know what to do with myself. And God's looking at it, and he's saying, you know what? That's only been like, what, 5 minutes? Give me a little bit of time. The stuff that you face and the stuff that you go through, it just completely astonishes God when we reach the point of brokenness in ourselves. You see, that's why he is a limitless God, because our limits are ended at the time of death. But we serve a God that never dies. We serve a God that created time. We serve a God that created the heavens and he created the earth. When you get to the point to where you say, I can't go any further, God just spent a whole minute on your situation. God just spent 10 seconds on your problem. You should just go ahead and worship God right now, because the years of your trial have only been just a short amount of time to my God.
Hear me now, 120 years Moses struggled. 120 years he faced trial. 120 years he toiled and he fought and he battled and he hurt and he was wounded and he was depressed and he was stricken. But only 3 days.
I get excited when I talk about this stuff because I know just how awesome our God is. Do you understand how powerful our God is? I find it interesting, and we're going to close here. Everybody stand. I find this another point that's just absolutely interesting. You know, how many people have lived in Davidson County for 40 years? Davidson County, 40 years. Do we have anybody here that's been, raise your hands up high. Don't you be embarrassed. It's Davidson County. We're proud of this. Barbecue festival and everything. That's right. 40 years. Okay, great. I haven't. I'm 30 years old, but I've lived here 30 years. Okay. Chances are, you know Davidson County pretty well, right? If I say go to Lexington Style Tremens, how many of you here are going to say, yeah? If I said go to Cracker Barrel, you're going to say, yeah, right? You know exactly where it's at. You're not going to, you know, Siri, how do I get to Cracker Barrel in Lexington? You're going to go straight to it. Moses, desert, 40 years. Check this out, Brother Starship. This is amazing. Desert, 40 years. Now, all of a sudden, runs to a burning bush. The Lord tells him, go to Egypt, and I want you to deliver my people. I want you to get them out of bondage. Okay, God, here we go. He goes, delivers them out of bondage. And then, being in that desert for that amount of time, he should know the place. Where does he lead them to? Right to the water's edge. He didn't get a handbook that said, you go here, Moses, and we're going to part the water. He didn't get a map. If you look at the map in which the route that they took, it's actually really, really hilarious because it does something like this. And they get there. I want to say that scholars have looked at it, and in all actuality, it would have taken like 2 weeks if they would have just done a straight line to get to the promised land. But instead, it took them 40 years. Okay? It's because of all the compromise and everything they had to face. You see, you ever find yourself in compromise to the will of God, then all of a sudden you'll find yourself going in circles before you reached the will of God. That'll preach. But anyway, 40 years, he knew this land. But then he found himself at the water's edge. There was ways he could have gone around it. Look at the map, you can see it. He could have gone around it. I was praying about that, and I was wondering. I said, God, why? Because I'm interested in the things like that. I want to know why. And the only thing that I could hear from the voice of God was this. When Moses was a child, and there was a decree sent out for the children to be killed, Moses found salvation in the water. So when he found himself being pursued by the Egyptians, I can't help but believe that he just recalled salvation's in the water. And he began to march those people straight to where he knew he had been delivered before. And when he found himself by the water's edge, can you imagine with me possibly the prayer that he prayed? He probably said, God, you did it for me before. God, you did it for me before. I'm just asking, do it again. You did it before, can you do it again? Can I speak as a youth pastor real quick and go ahead and tell some parents here in this place? Your kids might not be here right now, but they're going to remember one day that they were delivered in the water. And when the Pharaoh's armies began to go after them once again, you know where they're going to find themselves? They're going to find themselves standing right next to the water once again. And they're going to say, God, you did it before, you're going to do it again. Someone in this place needs to remember, you might not be committed right now. You might not be dedicated right now, but you need to remind yourself where God delivered you before, he can deliver you again. You weren't meant to walk through dry land for the rest of your life. You were meant for waters of living water to flow from your belly. Someone needs a heavy dose of determination that'll say, God, no matter what comes my way, no matter what anybody might think, no matter what anybody might say, today is the day of salvation, and I'm dedicating it all to you. I'm giving you everything I've got. Someone, if you're hearing what I'm saying right now, I'm just asking you this. Why don't you come up next to the water, and why don't you just remind yourself of what God did one time before that he can do again? Come on, somebody. These altars are open.
Going up to the high places.
Somebody help somebody. Somebody strengthen somebody. Pray with somebody. Give somebody an encouraging word right now. Oh, what a wonderful and powerful thing we can accomplish here together.
Praise God. And together, we've accomplished great things. Thank you, Brother Carson, for that wonderful preaching. Thank you for the ministry. Thank you, Landmark, for your worship, your praise. You're serving the Lord the way you serve the Lord. Let's continue to exalt. Let's continue to magnify and continue to glorify the name of the Lord. God is good, and He's good all the time. So let's be in the house of God all of the time. I've got an announcement to make, and I'm not going to give you the details. I'll give you a hint. Tonight will be a very, very special service. Amen. And you're going to want at least a slice of it. God bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' name.